There's one of my favorite stories. Is that two men standing outside the church, and they've got their Bibles in their hands, but they're not wearing any pants. They're in their underwear. And the one man says to the other, "That was the best sermon on giving I've ever heard in my life." Melissa doesn't want to see anybody without their pants. So, oh my. Well, I was preaching a revival. I was 17 years old, and I was called to go to Waterloo, Iowa, and start a church. It was an African-American church. And so we took our entire congregation of about 40 people up to Waterloo, Iowa, and we were a very different color, as you can imagine. We traveled to Waterloo, Iowa, and I was 17 years old. And when we got there, they had daytime backyard Bible club. Some of you may remember this. We used to do this, and we started the church through this. But we had 8 different groups, 2 that met in parks, and then 6 that met in homes. And we had 4 people assigned to each group, and one did the Bible story, and one did a craft, and one did the music, and the other one did the refreshments. And we met at people's homes and invited the children from the neighborhood to come. Had about 150 kids from the inner part of Waterloo, Iowa, show up in different people's houses in 2 parks, and it was a great success. And then at night, in one of the parks, we put the tent up, and we had a revival to start this church. This church was just getting organized, and these families were coming, and they were real excited about it. What was interesting, in the black church, the revivals I'd never participated in or been a part of, so I was all new to it. There are about 6 or 7 different pastors, along with the preaching pastor, they call him. That was me. Well, I was a little, all of these older pastors were there, and I was kind of like, I don't know why you want me to do this. And so you've got plenty of preachers here, but I'll do what I can. And so anyway, there was no order of worship, no bulletin. And we just, somebody started praying, and everybody just bowed their head in prayer. And then after that, somebody would start singing, and everybody would start singing, and we didn't have any hymnals or anything. They all just started singing. And then after someone finished singing, one of the preachers would stand up and start preaching. And I thought, well, oh, wow, you know. I looked at the fellow next to me. I said, "How long is this going to go on?" He said, "Hours." And I thought, oh, my. Well, it did. It went on like 2.5 hours, and somebody from the congregation yelled out, "Let the white boy preach." That was me, the white boy. So I got up and preached, and the fellow in the back said, "The white boy can preach." And I was honored. I was like, yeah. I was right there in the mix. And so we had the best service. But I learned something about giving. When they had the offering, there were 2 pastors that went down, and they took the plates, and they stood in the middle, and they came down. They walked down and put their offering in the plate. And then, while the music was playing, Bill, you'd be playing, you know what those 2 pastors did? They counted the money right there. They did. They counted the money. And then they said, "We didn't get enough." And so, you know what they did? "You're coming down again." They made them come. I'm serious. They made them come down again. And you know what they did? They came down again. And the Bill in there, he kept on playing. You just keep on playing. And they counted it again. And they said, "We needed $2,000 and we got $2,100. That's what they wanted. "We needed $2,000. Every night they said, "We need $2,000. And we're going to keep walking until we get it." I thought, wow, isn't that something? I asked one of the pastors. He said, you mean you don't do this in your church? I said, no, they'd fire me. He said, you should try it. I said, well, no, I don't think so. Now, I like ambulatory responses once in a while in worship. It's good for us to put our feet where our mouths are and come forward. Sometimes we do that in our giving during the Christmas season or for communion sometimes or baptism, lay on symbols of commitment to the Lord. Apparently, the parade offering was a style that was used in Jesus' day as well. This wasn't just part of the African-American church tradition. It was part of Jesus' tradition. They used the parade offering as a way of giving their gifts in the temple. Same style. Some people made a big show of it. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have already received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your alms may be done in secret and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Matthew 6. And in Mark's story today, Jesus and the disciples are in the temple. They're watching people parade their piety. It's exactly what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says these scribes are going to strut around like peacocks. They love the attention. They like calling attention to themselves, but their airs mask hypocrisy. And they exploit the very people they claim to be serving. The widows that they're called to protect, they're taking advantage of them. Then here comes the wealthy, finely dressed, decked with gold and jewels, putting in the large sums of money as though they wanted the approval of everybody else. And the disciples, mostly poor peasants, you recall, well, they were impressed by these offerings. Wow, look at that. Look at that. Did you see what that one gave? Jesus heard him. Finally comes this woman. We know nothing about her. She's poor. She's a widow. Perhaps one of the women the scribes had exploited. We know she's vulnerable. We know she's struggling. We aren't even told her name. We might call a school or church after her, but you know, who's going to attend the Poor Widow Baptist Church? Right? Jesus and the disciples watch as she puts in her 2 cents. Did you see that? Jesus says to his disciples, just what they've been saying. When all the big gifts were given, Peter said to James, whew, did you see that? And Jesus says, did you see that? And they look like him, look at him like he's got some kind of chicken on his head. Is he mocking them? I mean, this poor widow has put more than anybody else. Clearly she hasn't. We saw what everybody else gave, and for all of them, they've contributed out of their abundance, Jesus says. But this woman, she gave out of nothing, her poverty. She gave everything she had to live on. Now, most of you know that after worship, I love Bible study. I love teaching the Revelation on Sunday night, and I mean Wednesday, or on Wednesday night and on Monday, and I love my Sunday school class, and I love teaching the Scripture. I thoroughly enjoy it. In fact, I enjoy it so much, I have a group of ministers that I weekly gather with online, and together we all take a particular verse and talk about it. Usually it's something that one of the other pastors is going to be preaching on, and so we put in our own 2 cents. Well, I indicated to them that I was going to be preaching on this passage, and so they put in their own 2 cents. So actually, I didn't write my sermon this morning. My sermon came from a group of other pastors, 6 other ministers, and they're all together, and they all put in their own 2 cents, and this is what you're getting this morning. So I don't get credit for it. I'm going to give them credit for it. And I asked them, what's the point of the story? One, who's an expert on fundraising, said, it's about the Sunday offering. I mean, it means Jesus is watching what we give. These days, people expect the church is always going to be there for them. But they don't want to pay for it. They want a free ride. They don't even think about what it costs in order to maintain the buildings or support the staff or provide the basic services they receive, let alone what the church is giving out to other people in the community. They're like the rich people in the story. They give God their leftovers after they've had everything they want. They're tipping God, only they're probably giving God less than they give the waiter at lunch. You know, he's a pretty good fundraiser, this guy. And being the preachers they are, most of my friends agreed with him. This story is about what we give to God. But several saw other dimensions. I want to share those with you as well. Another one said it's about sacrifice. This guy left a career as an accountant in one of the top firms and became a minister. And a lot of us wondered, why did you do that? You had it all. It's about sacrifice, he said. We used to sing a hymn when I was a kid. He said, is your all on the altar of the sacrifice laid? Sacrifice, he said, is a dirty word today. It's a dirty word. We say, well, I had to sell that property at a sacrifice. Or maybe we had to sacrifice the ball game to go to the retreat. In biblical times, sacrifice was a good thing. Sacrifice was something that you offered because you didn't have it and you gave it sacrificially. It wasn't the leftovers you gave to God. You didn't give God the least you could give to God. You gave God the first fruits of the harvest, the best of your flock, the lamb without blemish, and you sacrificed. It's a great story when I was in Thailand. We were on a mission trip, and the missionary there was giving us a tour. And there was a rice paddy down below. There's a lot of hills. And we were on the side of the mountain, and we were looking down on the rice paddy, and there was a man down there in the rice paddy, and he was pulling a plow. And his son was riding on the back of the plow. And we all started laughing when we saw it. It was funny to see this man pulling a plow. And then the missionary said, he's a member of our church. And then we kind of calmed down a little bit and then we sort of looked at our shoes. And he said he used to have an ox. But he sold it and he gave the money to the church. So now he pulls his own plow. One of the others said, well, that was quite a sacrifice to sell his ox. Well, he didn't see it that way. He was thankful he had an ox to sell. Wow. And so now he pulls his own plow. You give your first fruits to God. You give the first fruits. And what's more, this guy said the sacrifice isn't a ritual death symbolizing punishment. It was a ritual life symbolizing rededication. They would lay their hands on the animal so it would represent them. Then they would take the animal's lifeblood, symbolizing their lifeblood, put it on the altar representing God, and in this way they give their lives back to God. In Jesus' day, they were allowed to use money as a sacrifice. And the widow did. That's the real point, another buddy said. She was all in. Now this guy just got back from Vegas. I've never really done the Vegas thing, but he said, you know, the rich folk put in their bets hoping that they're going to get paid in kind. But they held a lot back. And just in case God didn't come through, she went all in. She staked it all. Their security was in their wealth, but her security was in God, which made her richer because God is always more reliable than money. Isn't that great? Made her richer because God is always more reliable than money. That's a story about faith, he said. This is a story about faith. This is a story about risking everything with God. No risk, no reward. You put everything in. Another minister said, well, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That was his response. But what happens in the church, everybody sees. Much as we might try to hide, our lives are transparent. The depth of our commitment to God is going to show in the people we become. Jesus is contrasting with the peacocks and the posers who all talk a big game, whose lives are as empty as a salesman and his promise. There's an old saying, the poor live by charity, which means not only they depend on the generosity of others, but that they become generous themselves. Everybody knows it's a general rule, the poorer people become, the more free they are to share what they have. Had that in Mount Airy, North Carolina. The McCormicks lived across the street, and I'd gone to visit a lady who lived out in the country so far that I had to cross over two creeks. Literally, the water, the creeks were there. I had to drive my car across the creeks. I got to her little cabin, and she was sitting on the front porch. And out in the front yard were all these birds. She called them yard birds. Anybody ever heard that before? They were chickens. And she said, I got the yard birds. And she said, preacher, after we visited for a while, I sat in one chair, she sat in the other, and we talked, and she told me all about her life story, fascinating story, living up there in her 90s all by herself in this little cabin out in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere. She still had an outside toilet. She said, if you need to go, there's the spot. And I said, I'm good. She said, preacher, we always give the preacher something when he comes to visit. Sorry, I don't have a pie for you. I said, no, it's okay. It's all right. She said, but I want to give you something. And so she stepped in the yard, and she had a little apron on. And she put her little hand in one of the pockets of the apron, and all those chickens came running to her. It's crazy. Never seen anything like it. Well, she didn't give him anything. She reached down and got a hold of one and started whacking it around, just spinning it like this, you know. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know. And then she looked at me and she said, here you go. And I thought, I get my chickens from Kroger's. But I took it. She had nothing. She had nothing. She gave me one of her chickens. Took it across the street to Miss McCormick because I didn't know what to do with it. Miss McCormick said, "Oh, I'll cook it for you." And I said, "Look, you just cook it and keep it if you'd like." And she cooked it, and then she brought half of it over to my house. Miss McCormick lived in a two-room shack with her husband. And they had next to nothing. And they were happy to receive the chicken, and they wanted to give half of it away. The story is not about what people give. It's about what they withhold. How that shows. It's about the real wealth of having a generous and giving spirit. Those are Jesus kind of people. That's why the story doesn't go on to say how the poor widow won the lottery. Or had a fortunate rich uncle. Her act of giving was her reward because of the joy, the dignity it gave her, the kind of person it made her. God gives us the privilege of being a part of God and His work in the world. And the more we give ourselves to it, the more we're transformed by it. Another friend said, "Well, all that's true, but he reads a lot. He likes to top everybody off. You know what I mean? He's that kind of guy. So you can never know enough because he's always knowing more." And so he says to all of us, "You guys are still missing the point." Mark puts this story in the temple, and it's just a few days before the cross. Jesus, a few days before the cross. This story foreshadows Jesus going all in, giving everything he had for us. You see, that's why he's so touched by this gift. She put in everything she had. So did he. It's not about her, it's about Jesus. John Killinger says that when Jesus faced the cross a few days later, he remembered her sacrifice and gave all he had to, and he trusted the results to God. You know, in the Greek, Jesus actually says, "She put in her whole life." Don't you see? He said. That's what Jesus did. I got a bright group of friends, don't I? And they've got some good insights, and they steal a lot of my sermons because I give them to them. So today I got one from them. See why I enjoy Bible study so much? It's like holding the Word up and letting it shine through and seeing it in different ways. How God's light shines through God's Word. Poor widow is nobody by the world's standards. We don't even know her name. Not a power, not a player, the kind of person most people wouldn't even have noticed. But Jesus saw her. Do you know what? He sees you too. And he sees us next to her. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for all the many ways that you have gifted our lives. We thank you, God, for opportunities to give back in so many different ways, God, to offer ourselves, our very selves, to you. So take our lives, use us, let us be poured out as an offering for you, your glory, and your kingdom. And let us do so willingly in the name of Jesus the Christ, who gave his all for us. Amen.